Oh, good morning again, as they say. This morning, the title of the talk is The Power of Blessing. I don't know about you, but I've heard, just in many things I've been reading and talks I've been hearing of other people, it seems to be something which God seems to be speaking all over the place about. And I recently read this fantastic book called The Grace Outpouring. I don't know if any of you have read this book. It's called Blessing Others Through Prayer. And it's about a retreat centre in the south of Wales where a guy called Roy Godwin is the person who heads up the retreat. But it's like that God is pouring his presence over that community. And the overwhelming theme of the book is that God is a God who wants to bless. And so we're just going to pray, and then we're going to jump right into that. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you want to bless us much more than we could ever imagine. We thank you, Lord, that your nature and character doesn't change because of our circumstances. We thank you, Lord, that you want to override the things that we see with our eyes and our minds and hearts, and to be have them translated into your eyes and heart and ears, so we see things as they really are. And I want to pray this morning, Lord, that you just speak and open our eyes to the potential that we have in each one of our lives, Lord, as you come and work with us and alongside us and in us. And Lord, I want to pray particularly for all those here this morning that you will truly bless them. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. One of the Psalms says this, says, "May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life." God wants to bestow blessing upon his people. And blessing is something that we speak, isn't it? We speak a word of blessing. We speak a word of encouragement. As we speak it, we release it. In the Proverbs 18, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and of death." And so what we speak is very powerful. It could be that which builds up, encourages, or it could be that which tears down. It's 7 Proverbs 15, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." And I believe that God's intention is that we, as God's people, he wants to use us to bless. Can you imagine a church that is committed to blessing each other? Speaking God's words of life to and over each other. Words to encourage and to build each other up. Creating a climate where the outsider is welcomed in and blessed. And when we leave the church, not only are we blessed, but we take the blessing out into our work, our families, our neighborhoods. Because God's intention is that he wants to bless. May the maker of heaven and earth bless you from Zion. And 15 years ago, 4 kids turned up on mum and dad's doorstep. The youngest one was 12, the oldest one was 18. Each one between them was 12, 14, 16, and 18. They arrived on my mum and dad's doorstep because their father had murdered their mother. They arrived on the doorstep and they had nowhere to go. These 4 children were absolutely traumatized. They had spent a life where they had been abused by their parents. They were forced to watch pornography with their father. They had been abused on every single level. When they came into my mum and dad's house, they were broken people. And when I saw them for the first time, I thought, oh my gosh. I looked at them and thought, oh my gosh, could anything change in that particular situation? I was overwhelmed by the condition in which they arrived. And over a period of time, they stayed with mum and dad for a week. And then the Lord spoke to my father and goes, Barry, I want you to look after these children. And at the time, he'd got rid of all of us lot. And the last thing he probably thought was to have another bunch into the house, particularly that age again, and sort of entering into the teenage years. But the Lord spoke to my dad and said, no, I want you to look after them. Then a few weeks later, I was out with my brother and my dad, and we're sitting outside, and my mum is, and we're having a drink together outside. And my dad said to me, kind of, I felt it was a bit, he kind of threw it in there, and said, he goes, oh, by the way, we're going to adopt them. And I thought, oh, no, I really loved having them around the house. But adopting the kids is just like one step too far at the time. And then as that word came into my mind, the Lord said to me, I've adopted you into my family. And so within an instant, my heart shifted and I could enter into saying, actually, these are now going to be my brothers and sisters. And over a period of time, my mum and dad would be up late into the night with them, crying. They went through a time of seeing counsellors and all sorts of things. They went through many difficult situations. But through the time they were in that loving environment where they were encouraged and blessed, God transformed their lives. 15 years down the road, you would not recognize them. They're all married, they've got kids, they're full of life, they do not look like the children that arrived. I've seen in my family the power of God to turn that which was destructive into the power to bless. And that's a wonderful thing we as a church have got, that God wants to pour his blessing upon us so that we can bless those around us. Paddy and I we were around the community on Wednesday, and we had a fantastic, we were invited into someone's flat, and we met a lovely, lovely lady, and she's just gone through a very difficult time, and she said that her husband of 21 years, she had to kick him out of the house because of the drink and all that kind of stuff. She wants him back, but she just needs him he needs to go away for 6 months, just to have a time to be restored. And we were invited in, and she shared a story with us, and she's got the most wonderful son who comes along to kids club. He's absolutely fantastic. And she, the son was watching TV, and she goes, oh, would you be all right if we could just go into the other room? So we kind of snuck out the door just so we didn't embarrass her son. And we stood in the hall and we shut the door, and she shared what was going on in her lives. And we just sort of said to her, you know, do you mind if we pray with you? She goes, oh, I just love that, she goes. And so we just stood in the hall and we just prayed that God would bless her, that God would turn around her life, that God would transform the situation she was in, that she would bring her husband back, that he would be restored, that they would be restored. And so what we did, we brought a situation that was impossible for us to deal with, we put it into whose hands? The hands of the Lord. Because God can change and transform, because God is a God who blesses. God showed through Abraham, he was a God who blesses. He said, the Lord said to Abraham, who became Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And so Abraham was the beginning of a nation. Through Abraham was going to be Isaac and Jacob, and through Jacob were going to be the 12 tribes of Israel. And out of that, God was going to bless the world. His intention was that he'd bless the nations, he'd bless the people, and the earth will be blessed with the people that God blessed. And I was thinking, well, what does blessing mean? Well, there's all sorts of images in the Bible, but the one that came to me was that to bless is to confer or invoke divine favor upon a person's situation or circumstance, preparing the way for divine intervention. And so what we're doing, we're saying, okay, Jesus, we believe you want to bless this situation. We believe that you want to turn this around. We can't do it, but we know that you can. And so we're blessing, we're conferring the blessing from what we can do to what he can do, and we're invoking God's favor upon that situation, expecting that God will intervene. And I've been reading this book, and I'm going to read you something from it. And this community in Wales have begun this ministry of just blessing. And they're in the middle of nowhere, and they were really prayed that God would establish them and be a place of retreat, a place where God, people come and meet with people. And just people just mysteriously turn up there. People walking through fields and find this retreat center in the middle of nowhere. People suddenly find out about it and end up going there. And they have thousands and thousands of people going through it. And in 3 weeks' time, I'm going there myself for 3 days just to go in. I'm going to a Kingdom Power and Glory conference. And I'm so excited because there's an expectation that God will turn up. Anyway, this is what they said. He says this. It was so rewarding to speak blessings on the people God brought along who didn't know him. So these are the people that began to start coming to this retreat center. So we turned our sights outwards and began a pattern of speaking blessings into the local community. Every Friday morning in our chapel meeting, we would speak blessings over the neighbourhood. The valley below us has a 2-mile section that you call our locality. It is about 80 people scattered across its half-mile width. Gradually, a structure emerged as we continued in our new tradition of blessing prayer, and we now pray in that pattern as a matter of course. We pray for people, we pray for households. We pray into every household, blessing it in the name of Jesus. We're not interceding, we're speaking to them in the name of Jesus. The phrase, "We bless you from Zion," captures a biblical attitude to prayer that we want to apply to our context when we use the words, "We bless you." We bless you, this place where God's presence is being poured out. We speak to you in his name and we bless you. So we bless every household, we bless every marriage, we bless the relationships between family members of different generations. We bless the health, we bless their wealth. We bless the work of our hands, we bless every wholesome enterprise they're involved in, that they may prosper. Because we're an agricultural community, we bless the flocks and the herds. We bless the grass that will be nutritious in winter, which it wouldn't be normally, and will not need to be supplemented in order to strengthen the animals. We bless supportive networks of friendships that run through the community because they're a sign of the kingdom. We bless the pupils of our rural school and ask God to aid their learning. We bless the teachers and pray the school may be safe and wholesome place where simple childlike trust and belief in God and in Jesus can be comfortably maintained. We pray for both the place of worship in the valley, that the word of God and the spirit of God may flow from both. Then we speak to the hearts of all the people who are there in the community. We bless them to be safe and to be softened, so they may become more and more responsive to the voice of God. We bless them with the overspill of the kingdom of heaven being manifest here. Before long, we began to see the fruit of these prayers in quite miraculous ways. A man who rented a small stable in the community and did agricultural repairs had not been finding things easy. After he began blessing the valley in the name of Jesus, his business suddenly began to take off. He had to take on larger premises, employ people, and was able to buy his own house. The lambing season came and more miracles emerged. We'd been blessing the ewes to be strong and healthy and productive. One of our farming neighbours told us how he'd been absolutely stunned by the number of quads and triplets being born in his ewes. His normal hope was for many twins. The ewes were just about coping, but his wife has run off her feet supporting the rest of the lambs that which were bottle fed. He wasn't the only farmer with a story to tell. Another one stopped me in the lane and said, "Come and look in this field with me." Just beyond the gate was a massive bull. He carefully walked round the bull with an arm stiffened in front of him as if to ward off an attack. The bull was staring at him and slowly turned and facing him as he walked around. The farmer invited me to join him. I declined, he insisted. I closed the gate and refused again, but he was struck in the field with a bull and had an obstinate onlooker. He managed to divide off a cow and a calf and invited me to consider how excellent the calf's rear end was. Being no expert on bovine hindquarters, I merely murmured some niceties. He had to spell it out for me. The calf was clearly given the breadth of its rear. It's going to be a superb bull. It seemed that the farmers prayed that at least once in a lifetime they'll have a calf like that one. He still clearly felt I wasn't grasping how good this was. I had one like this last year as well. It's utterly unnatural. I told him that we'd been praying that the blessing of God would fall on the cattle, on the herds of the locality. Another seed was planted in another life as God's blessing unfolded in the life of a farmer in the green valley of Pembrokeshire. But there was more. A lady who lives out in the wilds at the head of the valley runs a farmhouse, bed and breakfast. Suddenly she's awarded an AA Landlady of the Year and was busy. Even now we tease her and tell her we're having a plaque put up at their place. I can't pronounce this one, not saying it. It's Teth. Which will claim to we are friends of the award-winning Lillian McAllister. This remote valley was seeing material and spiritual blessings. The chapel has not had a baptism for a few years, but after we prayed the prayer of blessing, a dam seemed to break. One very cold day, muddy underfoot, we were able to witness about 7 people being baptized in the open air baptistry, fed by the local streams. And it goes on and on. And these are just the starting. And you just begin to see lives change, people coming to the Lord, people walking into the area and falling on their face, all lying with their feet in the air. Just ridiculous encounters with God. People after people are coming to know Jesus. See, God wants us to learn to bless. because he wants to change our whole perspective. When we bless, we see the possibilities of what God can do. When we bless, we're blessing in the name of the Lord, aren't we? It's not about us. It's about him. We release the blessing. We invoke God's presence upon a person. We say, Lord, change that situation. And when we bless, we become part of what God is doing through blessing. And God wants us to develop a heart that blesses. It's another quote. He says this: having a heart to bless will challenge the judgmental mindset that can colour how we look at those we live with and among. We can become a grace-first people. We're still asking people to turn away from rebellion against God, but we're seeking to be part of the revelation from the Father that his primary desire is to bless those he created in his image. If we let the wisdom of God inhabit our thinking, a consistent grace-first prayer pattern will emerge in our actions and words. Grace-first prayer for healing doesn't search for wrongdoing in a person's life, which needs correcting as a prelude to a miracle. There doesn't seem to be much evidence for that approach in the ministry of Jesus. We simply ask that the power of God should touch that life. As goodness, grace, and mercy are manifest, we can remind people to change their ways. They're ready to hear the words of correction when they have heard the shout of love. Jesus, for instance, saved a sinful, adulterous woman from death and then gently suggested that she go and sin no more. It's that wonderful message that we have. It's a message that's devastating to a broken world. It's devastating to people in this community. It's a message that's devastating to the nation. It's devastating to Dublin. It's devastating to Northern Ireland. It's devastating. It's a message that completely turns upside down our understanding of who God is. And that's why 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday we came together, we worshipped together, and we went out of the building. We took some little tea lamps and we just popped them outside as a sign of God's light in the building going out into the community. And we went in different groups and we went around the flats and we just began to pray Jesus' blessing upon them, because we just love these people. We just love this community. We just love what God's doing. And we want to see these people come to know the love of Jesus, just as they do. And I've been reading about the command of blessing. I'm going to fly through this so that we don't go on too much longer. The blessing is an amazing thing when you begin to study behind how God institutes things. When God instituted the priesthood, he instructed Aaron and Moses in how to act as a priest. The first thing they were to do was to intercede on behalf of the people. And guess what the second thing was to do? To speak and pronounce blessings over the people. What an incredible ministry. When you hear of the priesthood in Ireland, does that invoke the words of blessing over the people, over the nation? Is that what we hear? Well, that's what God wants to hear. He wants to hear the prophetic voice raised up again in the church, that the priest will praise, will declare blessings over the people. And by doing that, he's going to release the blessing upon the people. We see in Psalm 133 the command of blessing of unity, but we see that out of Aaron as the priest, we see the oil running down his robe, down his beard, like the dew of Mount Hermon. And then it says, the Lord bestows us blessing, even life forever. So that even the picture of priesthood is about blessing. It's about pouring out his oil. It's about going down from the head all the way out to all the people. Aaron's blessing was this. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance or turn his face towards you and give you peace. The priest was called to bless the people. The next is an incredible statement. He says, I'll put my name upon the people of Israel and I will bless. Can you just hear what an incredible statement that is? Do you think it just turns upside down our notion of what God wants to do to a people? We've been taught that he comes to judge and this and that. Yes, he does. Oh, he does. When we, you know, there is an element of that, but he's come to bless. So what God is saying, that through the priesthood, through the words of the priest, God wants to release God's transformation and life-changing power by blessing his people. Why does he want to bless his people? So that God's people will go and bless other people. And through this blessing, God has given authority for us to bless in the name of the Lord. 3 years ago, I went to see Bruce Springsteen in concert in the Arab Emirates Stadium in London with my dad. And the first thing that he came on the stage, Bruce Springsteen, he says this, he goes, "I bless you in the name of the Lord." And then he jumps straight into whatever it was. But I just couldn't believe when I heard it. It was just so powerful. The blessing in the name of the Lord. Then it goes on to say in Leviticus, then Aaron lifted his hands towards the people, and what did he do? He blessed them. And having sacrificed a sin offering, the burnt offering and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. So here we see an imagery of Aaron blessing the people, but these were not just words, as we're going to see. They're words that released God's power. Leviticus 9:23 goes on to say this, Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. First came from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. And so we have an incredible picture of the blessing, the priestly blessing. Moses and Aaron had been designated by God to be priests. What do? They went into the tent of meeting. Why did they go into the tent of meeting? Because they wanted to meet with God. It's out of the divine encounter with God, when we meet with God, that God releases in us the blessing. So the priest needs to go and spend time in the presence. And then when he comes out of the presence, he blesses the people. And out of the tent of meeting, what happens? Aaron blesses the people. When he blesses the people, the supernatural is released and the glory of the Lord is seen. And so it says, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. He came by fire and burnt up the fat portions on the altar. And then what happened? Praise begins to arise. The people were filled with joy and fell face down, because the glory of the Lord was revealed. Isn't this an incredible picture of what God wants for his church? God wants us to meet together to encounter the presence of God. He wants us to be filled up with the Spirit in order that we can bless. Out of this blessing, the supernatural power is released, because God's intention is that he wants to bless and transform and change. God's glory is seen, and people come to know Jesus. And our response to God's divine activity is praise and worship. And then it says about the Levites, it says about them, they said they were called to be set apart to carry the Ark of the Covenant, to stand before the Lord, to minister and to pronounce blessings. So both the priest and the Levite, what God instituted, what God put in place, was to bless God. That was obviously part of the sacrificial system, but also to pronounce blessings upon the people. Then finally, as I'm heading towards the end here, ultimately, as it says in Hebrews, that Jesus came as the great high priest. And because of that, the great high priest has commissioned us into the priesthood. Everyone is called to be blessed and to be a blessing. For the new priesthood that has been inaugurated by what Christ has done for us upon the cross, it says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him, or the excellencies of him, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We're all called to a new priesthood, in which all believers carry the presence of God. We're called to minister to God and speak and pronounce, invoke and release blessings upon his people. And as I wind in, I'm just going to try and find a short story, so just to sort of... probably quite... I'll read this and then we'll pray. It says, another time we were approached by an inner city church, which had some... We had some trepidation. They told us that their young people were wild and a little bizarre. It's not like young people, is it? We love them for it, don't we? They were not Christians, so they barely spoke to each other or the leaders. One of them was known as a drug dealer, another was an addict. When they came for their visit, there was an adult accompanying each youngster. They arrived in two minibuses after a journey that had been marked by sullen silence. So you can imagine all of them had a chaperone there, couldn't you? All these people who, you know, all these people, I love it. It's a brilliant picture, isn't it? Love it. And when they came into the lobby, the youngsters stopped, and one of them turned around and said, okay, what's going on here then? What do you mean, the leaders asked. Well, there's something going on here, isn't there? They went up and sat down for the meal. Our catering team had been warned that it might be a very tense mealtime, but instead they had a room full of young people laughing and talking to each other non-stop. This was, in hindsight, a sign that God's presence was already changing the situation. After the meal, the leaders told the young people that during the time away, they wanted to talk to them about who Jesus is. And that was it. They started to fall to the floor, and Jesus began appearing to them in open visions, speaking to them individually. Later they explained what he said to them, which went something like this. I want to talk to you about all the pain in your life. I want to talk to you about everything you carry, all the wounds that you received. I want to tell you that I'm here to heal those hurts and take away the pain and set you free so that you can live liberated lives. I have a plan for you and I want to release it. Now I want you to look at my hands and my feet and my side. And I want you to see my wounds. Well, you didn't deserve your wounds that you have in your heart, and I didn't deserve the wounds that I carry in my body. But I volunteered to have them so that your pain could be dealt with in my pain. I will carry your pain, take it away. If you turn to me, I will heal you and I will forgive you and I will set you free for life. And so all of them, not one hesitated, said yes. And then he baptized them all in the Holy Spirit and they lay on the floor. They began to speak in tongues and to worship him and bless him. And when they began to prophesy, it was wonderful, just wonderful. We respond to God's activity here by praying, Lord, we bless what you do. We love what you do. We bless it that it can increase, Lord. Keep doing this, Lord. We love what you do. We bless your activity here, Lord. We welcome it even when it appears bizarre. God, we want you to be God, and even if there are some things that make us sophisticated people feel uncomfortable as we think of ourselves, we don't want to limit you. God, you can do whatever you like, even if it offends us. You do what you want to do, God, in the way you want to do it, and we'll bless it. These wonderful works of the Holy Spirit usually have a foundation that God has chosen to build on. Our foundation has been the simple request that we might be a house of prayer. It was a simple request, but the unfolding of God's response would provide many lessons for us, and not a little wrestling with God. And we're going to get some of these books, and we're going to bring them in. They're just so exciting, story after story. I read this book in two sittings, and I probably wept halfway through most of it. Because they're just incredible. It's just a reminder that God's alive and active. It's a reminder that God wants to do that in our church, in our city, in our community. And that God doesn't want any of us to miss out, because that's what God wants to do. And I'm really excited because these remind us of the stories that God has, you know. And so we want this church to be, God's grace to be outpouring on this church, so that we can be a church that bless the city, the communities, the people at work, wherever we find ourselves in. So shall we stand and just invite the Holy Spirit to come afresh this morning? And Lord, I just love reading books about your activity and about just your incredible passion for your church. And Lord, it's just such a relief to know that you're in charge. And I love this ministry from this place, because it's all about leaving people into the hands of Jesus and letting him speak to them. And so Lord Jesus, I stand here now and just welcome your Holy Spirit to come upon Core. I ask you, dear Jesus, to speak to the hearts of your people, to meet people where they are, and to bless them. And as Moses and Aaron did to the people, Lord, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you. I speak blessings over you in his precious name. And I just want to leave a bit of time just for you to be in his presence. And I'm going to be in his presence too.